the JSA Clicks podcast, the show where we discuss high-level competitive, casual, and everything in between. Your host is Jay Solomon, and now, on to the show.
Hey everyone, this is the JSA Clicks podcast episode, who knows, we're talking about next phase. We discuss the competitive HeroClix environment as well as alternate formats that are currently relevant. Your host, Devin Owens, today I'm joined by my co-hosts. We have Az.
Hey, what's going on?
And Jackson.
Hey.
Yeah, and we're discussing next phase. We're just doing our usual skip figures that we don't think are particularly relevant and talk about the whole set in one episode thing, because that's what's been working pretty reasonably recently. This set looks interesting. I have not read a lot of it, so a lot of this will be first impressions for me.
There's some duds in this set, and then there's some stuff that probably needs to get eratted.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
Seems like a pretty common mix of things in a modern HeroClix set.
Yeah, there's some stuff in the set that is probably broken upon first introduction to the scene.
The figure that I feel the most correct about recently is Daredevil. I have now played against that figure a few times, and man, that figure's messed up.
Yep. Yeah.
It's like 10 to 20 points for a figure that they're just like, yeah, I'm just going to throw this into your back line and deal 5 damage to your pieces, or 4 damage,
yeah,
or whatever. It's pretty absurd. The figure was not bad the first time it came around, but when you just chop like 40 points off of its points cost, it turns out it's better.
50.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah,
depending. It was originally 60 points, yeah.
Yeah, Mike's been running it at 20 because then you can use the Kathan sideline a little bit more efficiently.
Sure,
As much.
But I mean, even at just the 10,
like, it's ridiculous. Yeah, it's ridiculous
insane.
Either way. Mike's also been doing start with hypersonic and then flip to plasticity.
Mm-hmm.
Once they KO you, so they're not allowed to leave, and it's just mean. Yeah,
yep.
The figure's mean. Anyway, unrelated to this, just on the topic of things that are broken in the set that probably should have been errated. that was our first impression, and I think it's held up. All right. We're going to not talk about a bunch of the commons because they are not very good. We have an 001 She-Hulk, we have a Kate Bishop and Clint Barton, they're all very bad. Then at number 04, we have a figure we should probably talk about a little bit at least, which is Miss Marvel.
This is a 35-point barrier piece.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so barrier toughness. She can take ranged terrain actions as free, but only to attack with markers she generated. So you can barrier, and then you can free using the ability that telekinesis grants you to make ranged attacks with terrain markers.
Yeah. And we'll see something similar to this in the super rares as well with another Miss Marvel, that they kind of followed a pattern.
Yeah.
That's cool. So this is two of the best sealed powers, TK and barrier,
mm-hmm.
On the same figure. And it is 35 points at common. So play this a lot.
Yeah. The only way she's better is if she flew, because then sidestep carrying.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she has improved movement elevated. That really is not relevant. When you have sidestep, you basically have improved movement elevated already.
Yeah.
Like, it's at most reducing your movement by one to sidestep up or down the elevated. So that part's not relevant. But. Ridiculous support piece for sealed. There are 4 TKs and 4 barriers in this set, so she is a quarter of both of those powers that are available.
Yep.
Which is pretty good. At 005, we have something else we should talk about, which is Shifting Focus Moon Knights. They have a 60 and 25 point line. Unfortunately, the 25 point line doesn't start with the good powers. So both of these have the two common ones, which are Moon Knight and Mr. Knight. There may be more at higher rarities. I'm not sure. Do you guys know?
No, it's just these two.
Just these
is
two.
Is it really just these two?
It's just these two, yeah. There are, I think, 3 Moon Knights.
I mean, that
in
makes
set.
Sense
the
from the
rare.
Show. There was just the two in the show.
I guess that's fair.
Yeah, they have enhancement and power on their lower dial, but only on click two. So they kind of suck.
I'm annoyed that Moon Knight is 60 points for a two printed damage.
Yeah, yep. That's pretty bad. I mean, I guess it goes up to three with RCE, but
why
is the second click a three printed damage?
Yeah, I do not understand this dial one bit. Nope,
that is strange.
Yeah, pretty.
Doing this kind of thing made sense when pushing damage existed. That's one of the reasons that I thought that pushing damage should go to optional instead of go away completely, because I think that kind of intentional self-dial manipulation is interesting. But now that it does not exist, it does not make any sense to do this.
Yeah,
nobody is ever going to hit you for one and allow you to hit them for one more damage. Like, what? Then we have Kazi. It's a leadership is the only reason to vaguely talk about it. A very low point figure in the demon. It's flyer, but unfortunately also tiny, so it can't really carry anything.
I do think one thing with Kazi that is interesting is that he removes the point requirement for Underworld.
That's true.
So kind of makes carrying around a little easier.
Yeah, but he's just way too many points.
Yeah, and that'll probably be good in sealed, but yeah. Like Jackson said, unfortunately, too many points for constructed. Yelena doesn't do anything interesting other than the fact that the assassin trait from Notorious is back.
Yep.
Cool, I guess.
And the goons are back.
Yes, and then we have the tracksuit. It's 15 point in power, so great.
Is this just goon?
This is worse goon.
Worse goon?
Yeah, pretty much. Is there any real difference?
Does Goon
have Brute?
Does Goon have Underworld?
I believe he does.
Okay.
Does Goon have Brute, though? Because that allows it to be X-Men. If not. Yeah, it does. Okay. So yeah, it is just pretty much worse Goon. I mean, this one has sidestep, so that's kind of nice, I guess.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty useful.
Yeah. Sidestep
with Underworld is good.
They're different enough.
You're probably not playing this in Constructed, but it's cool to have around. And the Tracksuit Mafia finally having figures is fun.
Yep.
Even if they're not technically comic related. Although I know there was mixed opinions on the Hawkeye show.
I loved it.
Personally, yeah, I also really loved it. I thought they did a really fantastic job of reproducing the feeling of the Fraction run of Hawkeye with the place that the characters were in the MCU. Like, it would have been impossible to just do the Fraction run of Hawkeye because the characters were so different.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the relationship between Kate and Clint was not the same at all in the MCU as it was in the comics. It would have been impossible to do that. But they managed to make it feel very similar, even with quite different characters as a starting point, which I think is both very difficult to do and probably what you should be aiming for in an adaptation in the first place. Like, you don't need to panel for panel recreate it if you can make it feel similar.
Agreed.
We have Blonsky, empowered leadership, sidestep, 30 points, not awful, not great.
Cheap leadership for monster.
Yeah. Oh, that's actually really relevant. That's a good point.
Empower leadership for monster for 30. It's not bad.
Yeah, that's a good point, because monster really struggles with leadership.
Yeah,
recently, because it's basically just Apocalypse. Genesis.
Yeah,
and if you're not paying for the sword,
yeah,
which is what would make them the same number of points as Blonsky.
Yeah,
then they're just not very good. With the sword, they're good, but saving 5 points is relevant.
He's also a wild card. That's super helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and empower is pretty good for monsters in general.
Yep.
True.
Hey, if they ever hit him for 3 damage for some reason, he can do
that. I mean, they're never going to let him stay on it. Yeah. Gets a 11 for 4 flurry.
Hilarious. No, they really should never do that. But if for some reason your opponent decides to do that.
True.
Yeah,
true.
I mean, Prime Hulk getting the empower is pretty nice, right? Like, there are lots of things you can do that's pretty useful. Is it the one free movement that comes with passenger on the motorcycle, or is that just
a free movement? Passenger one free movement.
Okay, yeah. So if Hulk had that, they could
No, it's not.
It's passenger running shot, I believe.
Oh. Yeah, it's passenger running shot. It's free move, improved moving characters.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, you're pretty unlikely to put the running shot on just so he could carry a veil around.
Yeah.
All right. Hulk is not good.
Hulk is a Hulk.
No. I mean, Hulk it has a Hulk. Unique modifier, so that's cool, but it's not a useful one.
No.
Who cares? Then we get to Baby Groot at 014, which is relevant because it's a shifting focus, and we should track down the other shifting focuses to talk about this one. So this first one, the 014, has free generate a hindering terrain marker or destroy all adjacent standard terrain markers. So if the other ones were good, you could keep this in your back pocket to take opposing barrier off the map on like a alpha strike team of some kind, right? Also has empower to help with that, so that'd be cool. But the other ones would probably have to do something for that to be relevant. So we have 031, which says opposing characters within four squares in line of fire can't use stealth, and sidestep force blast. Force blast is free, but only to target a character that's moved since your last turn, can knock back characters larger than himself, which is nice because he's tiny, so it wouldn't do much if he didn't have that. But yep. Also, that means he could knock back giants, which is marginally relevant because you can't knock back multi-base characters. So
yeah,
it would have to be a single base giant, but I guess you could knock opposing boots back and have them.
He could knock a Kathan back.
Although they're unlikely to have moved. Yeah. Yep, it could come up. And has outwit and improved targeting hindering, which is pretty nice. So, I mean, honestly, this is like another pretty good support skill set for Alpha Strike teams.
Yep. And there's two more.
Yeah.
Cool. That are the chases.
There are three more. There's an LE.
There's the LE one too.
That's a lot. Yeah. That's a there's lot of powers that you can fit. The shifting focus does have to be on your sideline, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. So sideline slots are a little tight at the moment, which is good. But yes. It does mean that it might make these a little hard to play. I do think this one complements the other one pretty well. Like, you start the turn with the empower one on the board, move across, take out opposing barrier, and then swap to this one, sidestep in, force blast something back, outwit something through stealth. Like, pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, and then we have, weird to talk about chases this early, but I do think it makes sense to talk about the shifting focus ones all at the same
time. They're super simple too.
Yeah. Okay, so then we have chase 059. This one has a trait that says regeneration, but only if Baby Groot occupies water terrain. When a friendly character occupying water terrain would heal, they heal an additional click. And then smoke cloud is free, but as water terrain instead of smoke, and then has support and 20 defense, but doesn't have defend or anything. So just sort of hard to hit himself.
Dolphin, tiny, 20 defense. This man does not want to be shot at.
That is true.
And stealth. Like, why does he have stealth and dolphin?
Yeah,
that is a good question. Yeah, it is better to just not put them in the water, usually.
It kind of sucks once that the smoke cloud is free as an optional to just be free smoke cloud. That'd have been cool.
Yeah, it's not that smoke cloud, smoke cloud is free.
Water.
Or if it was like smoke cloud is free, but may do water instead of smoke.
Right.
Just as an option. Cool.
This one seems marginal. I mean, support is always nice to have if it's fairly free, but
Slots
aren't usually free at the moment, so I'm not sure that you could actually really bring this one along most of the time, even if you're bringing the others.
Yeah, not really too great.
All right, and then we have 060. This one has charge. When he uses and changes elevations after resolutions, he can use Quake as free, perplex, but can use it to modify a value by -2, so can use it normally. And then is just a charge piece, basically, improved movement elevated.
Just a basic attacker.
I mean, nice to have with the other ones. Nice to be able to make some attacks.
Yep.
And perplex is always good.
He potentially gets to attack twice, which is nice.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, if there's nothing useful to knock back or outwit, then this is a pretty good backup to perplex down a defense by -2 or something.
Yep.
And where's the LE?
201.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay, this one has stealth. When a debris marker is placed within 8 squares after resolutions, you can place him in the square of that debris marker, and he's also in power. free place an adjacent opposing character, but that's only end of dial. This one does not seem useful to me.
No.
Cool. Yeah, this seems bad. I would not.
Yeah, I don't really like the baby Groots altogether. They do have some usefulness, but I think they're just too overcosted and don't do nearly enough to be truly viable.
Yeah, they probably won't see any play, honestly.
Yeah, they, for, weird to say that 40 is a lot of points, but it has been recently.
For
it has been for a while now.
Yeah. And they're both, they're also on the fence, like, with support and offense. It's just not enough of either on any of them, really.
I mean, I could see them being seeing play in pulp.
Yeah, for sure.
The just the uncommon and rare one.
Yeah. Mm.
If there is a good alpha, like, there is a good alpha strike team, right? Like, Poison Ivy is one of the best figures in pulp. I could see him being a good support on a Poison Ivy team.
Yeah. For sure.
And also, Outwit is much better in pulp than it tends to be in normal constructed.
All right. Then we have the trick arrows.
Yeah, we have lots of trick arrows in a row.
This is the broken stuff.
Yep.
Okay, is there something we should look at to understand trick arrows before we look at them, or is it just the first one that says trick arrow explains them?
Just the first one explains how the trick arrows work.
Okay, so here we are at trick arrow. A force may contain only one trick arrow equipment. Once per game, when this is equipped, place up to 3 trick arrow cards face down. You may look at them. When this character hits, you may flip over a face down trick arrow card and perform its on reveal effect. I like that it specifies that you can look at them. I'm imagining you putting them down and then forgetting which order you put them in, so you accidentally flip the wrong one up.
Yeah.
Okay. These are like trap cards.
Basically.
Pretty much.
Except that they're triggered by stuff you do, not stuff your opponent does, so they're not really.
Yeah.
Like, one of the things about trap cards in Yu-Gi-Oh! Is that they, like, theoretically should be possible to play around. Whereas
the only thing, other than, like, the power level of these things, my main concern is Heroclix, and something that I've always really enjoyed, Heroclix for a while now has been all information is public and is open and upfront. This is a hidden element.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is true.
And while, yes, you know what arrows your opponent is running, you don't know which ones your opponent is playing in that game.
Do you... are you limited in which ones you can put down?
No, so
you just get 3, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, you get 3, but, like, well, only one of these.
From the whole pool every game, theoretically, right?
Yeah, and you don't have to tell your opponent which ones.
Right.
Yep. Just beginning of the game, pick 3, use them whenever, they don't know.
And this does have a qualifying keyword of marksman.
Yes.
Which, let's just have a quick look at.
It's marksman. The characters in this set.
Okay.
Yes.
There are no previous instances. No.
Hawkeye and Hawkeye does not have
except
it.
Except Arsenal.
Black Lantern Green Arrow doesn't have it.
Yeah, Hawkeye and Hawkeye having it would be relevant.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So the actual trick arrows themselves, we have the putty trick arrow. On reveal, generate up to 4 squares of hindering terrain markers in or adjacent to a hit. In a hit target.
In or adjacent to a hit target.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
You're generating it inside a character.
Or adjacent.
I just expect this to say the square.
In a square or adjacent.
But yeah.
Doesn't at the beginning, like, I think this functions, it just is weird templating. At the beginning of your next turn, remove them. Opposing characters occupying or adjacent to these hindering terrain markers must roll for breakaway and cannot automatically break away. Yep, that's relevant.
Yeah, that's fine. Just lock down a team.
Sonic, you choose a hit character and all opposing characters adjacent to them give them an action token. Yeah, I mean, that can be pretty bad for opponents.
Yep.
Hit character, this choose a hit
also,
character.
Also, real quick with Sonic, because this is going to be something that we want to keep an eye out for some of them.
Yeah.
You only have to hit one person.
Right. Yes. Yeah, it's not energy explosion. You just
you don't have to make attack rolls against.
You hit one people. And it just happens to everyone.
It's like old Cyclops Sentinel or Phoenix Sentinel or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Acid. Choose a hit character. If they would reduce damage this turn, they reduce the damage by 1 less. That one seems okay.
Like if an OMA kind of, but that's it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, good to own just in case you run into OMA kind of stuff.
Yeah, the fact that it's an option that put down.
Choose a hit character. Instead of normal damage, deal 2 penetrating damage to the chosen character. And so to up to one other opposing character within two squares of the chosen character.
That's very good.
Yeah. Two penetrating can be good, and getting to spread it can be relevant for sure.
Well, it's also really, like, I guess this is kind of going back to that. You don't have to deal with rollouts.
Yeah.
You just shoot the person. You shoot Scott Porter and deal damage to Carnage Surfer.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely. And dealing two damage to Carnage Surfer specifically, too, is quite good.
I'm not sure that I'm a fan of these get to deal damage on attacks that don't actually get attack rolls to targets.
Yeah, you just do the thing.
Just do them. I'm not a big fan of that.
This is like once per game at least, right?
Yeah.
By itself, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess we'll come to we'll get to something later on.
Yeah.
All right. Trick Arrow USB instead of normal damage, destroying equipment equipped to each hit character.
Whew. This one I thought was broken until I remembered that instead of normal damage, can't be replaced.
Yeah.
I thought like you could pulse wave with Scott Porter and just eliminate all equipment.
This is still great on like Carnage Surfer's like second attack. Just, hey, I'll KO through equipment.
Yeah. I mean, as long as you have like 2 to 3 targets, this seems good.
Yeah.
It's an option. And the next two are the most broken.
Yeah.
All right. Then we have two dangerous. Choose a character instead of normal damage. Deal 3 damage to the chosen character and all characters adjacent to them. Knock back each damaged character 1 square. Woo! That's so much damage.
It's Quake that only has to hit one person.
Holy.
With extra damage. Oh, yeah, and if you have Pensai, it's,
and knock
it's
back.
Penetrating.
Oh, yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, just automatically busted formation.
That's very, so much damage.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. This really is Phoenix Sentinel at that point.
I don't even think that this is the strongest one. I think the next one is.
Okay, let's read big then. Choose a square adjacent to a hit target. After resolutions, this character may use Quake as free as if they occupied the chosen square, and after resolutions, generate a blocking terrain marker in that square. That doesn't sound better to me.
So the reason it is the best is because you use Quake as free, which means you hit. So activate another arrow.
Yeah, it gives you another attack.
So this is just, you do this one first, get a free Quake and another activation. And then you can just activate electric.
Yeah, the trick arrows don't say ranged attack.
No, they can be on any attack.
Any attacker. It is just
I really expected that it would be ranged attack.
So did I.
Tito would think that. They're arrows.
Yeah.
Huh. You could stab people with arrows. At least that's what WizKids thinks.
I mean, that is a very, like, comics and animated stuff, like fantasy fictional content in general thing.
Sure.
It doesn't work very well in real life, but...
Because that one specifically, in the show, he shoots up in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so doing Trick Arrow big and then too dangerous, that seems quite good.
It's very good.
That's a lot of damage.
I think I mentioned this before in our chat, but with the Trick Arrows, this now allows Spider-Man to make upwards of 7 attacks in a turn. Yeah, Prime Spider-Man can make 7 attacks in a turn if everything goes right with Trick Arrows plus tarot cards. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I think I'm willing to pay 10 points for this.
Yeah, it's a very good equipment that's going to see a lot of play on a variety of attackers, including the ones that get it for free.
There is a way in the set that you get to reuse Trick Arrows.
Yes.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing that.
This is what I thought needs to be errated at some point.
I also think this needs to be errated. This should only be range attacks, and we should not be able to trigger off of...
3 is a lot.
There's also a character that gets to use 4.
I feel like you need to play Merlin now. Just to not get bigged. These are 10 points. You always bring big and too dangerous, and then you bring a third, depending on what you're facing, probably, right?
Pretty much.
Probably electrical or USB, maybe acid.
Makes sense. Makes sense to me.
But you have access to all of them when you see your opponent's team, so that's great.
Yeah, I mean, Sonic, even, like, that's...
Just any kind of throwaway attack or whatever can just now be given a Trick Arrow and have their own little combo to do a bunch of damage.
Yeah.
And that's just a lot of damage. And like you said, having Exploit or Psychic Blast makes too dangerous.
Yes.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Potentially 4 damage to an entire team only needing to hit 1 person. Yeah, kind of good.
Yeah.
Something a little less strong, Wong.
You combo big and too dangerous? You can't, right? Because Quake is also instead of normal damage.
You can't use them both on the same attack.
Right, that's what I meant. Because you said that you can activate another arrow from big, but not specifically too dangerous. Because
no, but big still lets you do another one.
Right, just not too dangerous specifically.
Yeah,
which is fine. Like, obviously, it's still very good.
Yeah, because you do need
it's better than you cannot do both of those in the same turn.
Well,
I just initially thought you might be able to.
There is one character in the set that can, but we'll get to that.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that later, I guess.
Wong is great and sealed.
Yes, he is.
Wong?
Yep, yeah. 40 points, TK prob. Other characters can't use mystics, including friendly ones, so only him.
I was still searching by marksman.
Yeah.
Okay, I see. Continue.
Flyer and sealed. Great and sealed.
Yeah, phasing, TK, flyer, and seal. Prob, great.
Jen Walters, also really good in sealed because she's a prob.
Yep, on uncommons, 18 defend prob.
They're good.
There are 12 probs in this set, so that makes sealed more interesting. Yeah.
Valentina Allegra de Fontaine, also a prob.
And shield.
Yep.
Props and to Devin for saying that perfectly.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure nobody Spanish will be annoyed at me for that. Yeah. Also gives out Thunderbolts keyword, which
sure does.
Yeah.
Probably isn't a new constructed team. I can't think of a ton of figures with those keywords that are relevant, but maybe
this is something I feel like in like 6 years in Silver Age, we're going to be like, oh, right, we can make the craziest Thunderbolts team now.
Well, because you can use the Red Skull that also, like, is it Red Skull?
There's a Baron Zemo. Baron Zemo, that's it. And Thunderbolts, the same keyword, yeah.
Yeah.
That might be too much.
Yeah. A little.
He gets a sword equipment without paying its cost. Cool. He's not very good, so it doesn't really matter.
Okay, this is something I've always thought they would never do, but this is the first instance of someone being able to equip an equipment at the start of the game from another set.
Yeah, it's true.
He can equip the Necrosword.
Yeah, like, well, no, not that.
No, that's not modern legal, but...
No, it's also not a sword equipment.
In sealed, he could equip a soul sword.
No. I'm saying that he can equip an equipment from a set that he's not in. We've never seen that before. We've never seen someone that can, like, during force construction, get a free equipment from another set.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Also, just going back to the Hawkeye show, naming this character Jack Duquesne was an incredible fake out.
Yeah.
It's a thing that means absolutely nothing to anybody who hasn't read the comics. And to people who have read the comics, it's like a big flashing neon sign that says this guy is going to turn out to be a villain. And then he just doesn't.
Awesome. He ended up being just the dude.
He's just some slightly gormless dude who happens to be good at swords.
Yep.
It was very good. I enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah.
I was waiting for him and Clint to meet for the whole show, and then they didn't know each other at all. <It's great. laughs> I think probably that annoyed some people, but I thought it was
fun. Well done.
All right, Harrow, he's not good.
Now, weirdest powers.
Yeah, weird powers.
Layla's good and sealed. Outwit perplex, stop click with prob senses.
Yeah, Outwit is just always really good and sealed.
Yep.
So, if you have that and another good support power and you're just not an awful dial by yourself, great, I'm in.
Yeah.
There's a lot of perplex in this set, too. Holy crap.
Yeah, and the first pre-release I did, my team consisted of 5 perplexes.
There's 12 probs, 14 perplexes, and 17 outwits. This might be the most stacked support power set we've had in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that some of the things we've been saying, where it's like, this is prob, it's good, just aren't true, because there's so many of them.
Yeah, fair. There's so many options. Pretty much everyone pulls a prob in sealed, which is nice.
What show is this character from, Runa?
This is from She-Hulk. She got sued because she's a Asgardian that disguises herself and catfishes people.
Oh, right. Yeah. I forgot that episode existed because
I think she like catfished herself as Brad Pitt and tried to marry someone or something in the episode.
I mean, that sounds right.
Yeah.
I mean, you thought you were dating a multi-award winning megastar. I mean, that makes sense.
Right. Yes, I remember that line now that you say it.
Yeah.
I didn't dislike She-Hulk, but I thought that its continued insistence that it was a lawyer show while making absolutely no effort to develop its supporting cast of lawyers or do anything like remotely resembling an actual courtroom scene was odd.
Yeah, that was a little annoying. I wish it would just kind of stick to one or the other.
I mean, if it wanted to be a lawyer show, that would have been great, but it instead just wanted to say it was a lawyer show and put absolutely no work into being one.
Yeah.
The weirdest part for me was in episode like 4 or something, when they did the whole side plot of her other, of the other lawyer who worked at her firm, whose name I have already forgotten because I didn't know it before that episode, doing his own case, which is the thing that a real lawyer show would do after it had developed that character over the course of, you know, a season or something. But instead, we'd barely met this character. I didn't care about him doing his case.
Yep.
He'd been in like 2 previous scenes. I didn't remember his name.
Yeah. I did like the show, but it was kind of just weird.
It was trying to copy like network TV tropes while not having the space that those shows have to develop their characters, because it's a streaming show with only 7 episodes, which I think is probably a pretty easy mistake to make, because you're trying to do the lawyer show thing, but it didn't work.
Yep.
Okay. We have another character who has prob. Honestly, Saracen. This one looks much worse to me.
Yeah.
It's just like a very bad attacker other than that, with no defensive powers at all, really.
Just dies. It's like an okay attacker. It has prob and steel, but it just dies. It's just willpower like this.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about how there's 12 probs. You can probably skip this one.
Yeah,
this it's one. Your only prob, run it.
But... if it's the only one you pulled, sorry, but there you go.
Yeah. Yelena, this looks just sort of bad.
Can I just say that I'm pretty sure, at least for me, Yelena was the best part about the Hawkeye show.
She was great.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, all of the Yelena Kate scenes were pretty fantastic.
Yeah. But yeah, this isn't very good.
Ooh. Another tracksuit. Did they just name this character the same thing, but with a different set number?
Yeah.
We heard.
This is Trustabro tracksuit.
Okay. This one isn't as good as the last one. It doesn't have any support powers, so it's bad. I mean, it went on top dial, I guess, but you're never going to run the top dial, so...
When it dies, it can potentially destroy a terrain marker. That's kind of funny, but...
Kill your own tracksuits to destroy your opponent barrier if you roll a 1-3. What a great plan.
10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Can't even kill your own tracksuit. It says by an opposing character.
Oh, does it?
Yep.
Right,
yeah, it does.
Oh, man. Even my terrible plan doesn't work.
Nikki Ramos sucks so much.
Yep, this isn't a good figure.
Nope.
Wrecker also sucks so much.
Seems yep, moving on.
Leapfrog, hilarious. Love this character. 30 points for 6 clicks. Has a trait, Ribbit and Rip It. Yep. Leap Climb, free. Choose a direct path and roll a d6. Knock Leapfrog back along that path a number of squares equal to the result. So he can just free knock himself back.
Hilarious.
What you basically do with this guy, and what I did in the sealed, is you run up next to someone, free knock yourself back into a wall, go to click 2 where you have your attack power, which is poison, but deals damage even if moved or placed that turn. When he uses it, deal him 1 damage. So this character's entire thing is deal himself 2 to deal you 1.
Yeah, that's...
Well, you attack first, so you actually get to do a 3.
If you have enough movement, yep.
And then you're in power afterwards.
Yeah, it seems okay and sealed. And bad.
Very bad.
Really bad anywhere else.
It's hilarious. Great design. Great trait. Love it. Though.
Ribbit and Rip It.
I do enjoy it, but yeah, not very good.
Mr. Immortal is hilarious.
Best design ever.
On a 1, he gets KO'd. You can always KO him at any time.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. That first must have some Silver Age implications, right?
First character to ever say free KO themselves, if you don't count Start a Set Watcher.
Right. I mean, I guess technically it does, but not.
But
literally.
He's also potentially just a character that you can never kill.
Yeah, yep. He's potentially infinite mastermind fodder. He could just potentially give up points while he does it.
Oh, yeah, you
can absolutely mastermind to him.
Or not prevent him from masterminding to him.
It's just you're probably going to give up points.
I can't think of anything great to do with this figure in silver off the top of my head. Obviously, there's the boomerang elites.
I mean, but this
would be a very expensive way to do that compared to having a ring and walking the construct off the map, as PJ figured out a little while ago.
If you could potentially, like, somehow make him protected outwit, he'd be great to hold the traffic barrel and just lock someone up with, because he can potentially just never die. And they can never get away from it.
There were a bunch of characters who were like, if a friendly character has been KO'd since your last turn, they get, like, some effects.
Yeah, the problem is that the constructs are better at doing that than Mr. Immortal, because they don't, you know, give up 35 points.
You can free action sidestep to KO a construct to get the same effect.
Yeah. Unfortunate that he probably doesn't actually have a niche, but it is a very funny line of text, so I'll give him a pass.
Yeah, this is a hilarious character.
Yeah, and then we have Hulk, who cares?
Awful.
We're back to Baby Groots.
So, I will say one thing with this Hulk. He's not good, but he does something that I've been wanting to do for like 3 years. He allows you to carry characters with Battle Fury.
True.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Which is something when I was playing
one. Let you do that, but
when I was playing 1 million BC Black Panthers, that was what I wanted to do. I just wanted to carry them.
Yeah, that has always been annoying when a character just has Battle Fury, and you're like, no, but I don't want.
But no,
can't play them.
It's scary.
It's impossible to.
I want to be able to play you.
Okay,
Baby Groot.
Then we have Iwua. What's this from?
This is from the I Am Groot short thing.
Animated stuff.
Yeah.
I did not watch that.
I also didn't. I just know this is from that.
Cool. Free, choose an opposing character within four squares. Uwa can use the powers that that character can use until your next turn. Not bad. And then shape change after you use it resolution. After resolutions, you may place him up to two squares away from his current square.
I think this character could potentially have been playable if it wasn't a prime.
Yeah, I think
it's always a problem.
This is such a specific play. Like, if we're ever in a meta where, like, something is being played, like, as much as Scott Porter that has some kind of crazy special power that, like, it's being played so much it's guaranteed to be on the opponent's force, maybe you could consider this guy. But if not for that very specific scenario, I don't think he's ever going to really see play.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if he could copy friendly character's powers, he would be absurd.
He'd be insane, yeah.
But he can't, so probably not. And he's even a prime, like, so he's not pop playable, so yeah.
Even if he copies, like, a retail or something, it's still, like, that wasn't even worth it. That was cool, but yeah, it's not even...
Yeah, I mean, not being able to multi-retail in the same turn makes that less useful. And the placement restriction that all the more recent ones have had.
This, like, might be broken in, like, 8 years due to some forgotten interaction, but until then, pretty bad.
Just while we're talking about retails, do you guys like that they changed to the if nothing has been placed this turn, or do you wish they'd stuck with the if no other colossal retaliation power this turn?
The more limitations on free attacks there are, the better, I think. I think that unless something very specific happens, you should never be able to get a free attack due to just how influential damage is in this game.
The only reason that I didn't like it very much was because it's just really easy to forget.
It is, but the big deal that you could carry around your prob and, you know, everything else, and then retail, like, I'm very glad that they went the other way.
You could set up perfectly for it, whereas
TKs and stuff like that,
Whereas it should just be first thing you do, here's your free thing that you might get off.
Yeah, I mean, sort of like the old ID card where you had to do it start of turn.
Yeah.
Which they went the opposite direction on, giving it less restrictions.
I love this effect. I always love power copying. Like, Mimic was one of my favorite characters, but man, it's just not that great.
The old hope that could copy special powers.
Yeah.
There was a play your highest power combo night where you got like 1,000 points to play it, and I played Dark Phoenix Cyclops plus Hope.
Yep.
Where you knocked her wave into the wall and then just pulse waved your opponent's entire team for 5 or whatever, and that was fun.
Yep. So, good times.
Probably a good thing he can't do that.
Yeah.
Okay, we have Maya Lopez, who can copy standard powers from adjacent opposing characters, has charge side set stealth, and close combat expert. Yeah, no, not very good.
Nothing.
So many points for this, and just awkward timing on copying a power.
Yeah.
It's like you can't charge and copy a power in time to use it.
Yep.
It's not so you have to charge in and then copy a support or
defense power,
and then the next turn copy an offensive power. Yeah, pretty medium. Red Dagger. This character doesn't look very good to me. Oh, this character looks really bad to me.
Yeah, they're like a out of the shadows type line of fire, can't be drawn until yada yada. He's still not great.
Donnie Blaze. There's a lot of text on this card.
This is a lot of text to say he potentially actively helps your opponent. Don't play this figure. He potentially generates a demon that becomes friendly to your opponent's force and is not scored when KO'd.
Beginning of your turn, you can generate a demon. And then on a 1-3, it's friendly to your opponent's force. Interesting.
And isn't scored.
Yeah. On a 4, you get another one.
The character's hilarious. And then it goes away. Bad.
I mean, the movement power is obviously quite good. But not like anywhere near Blackheart levels. So you'll never play this because you could just play Blackheart.
And then your opponent also gets to place them one away. After.
Yeah, I mean, it's really you're placing them 3 away from their current square, right?
If there's ever some character that's like busted when they place, sure. But
sure. Yeah, probably not very good.
No.
All right, we have a Clint Barton who gets a free attack, I guess, but is 75 points. So
free attack using in-cap.
Doesn't, never mind. Ignore me. I didn't realize he had an Avengers initiative.
Yep.
We have a 200 point Moon Knight.
Yeah.
I still don't think this character is playable in Pulp.
No, it's not. It's going to get overwhelmed pretty easily.
Okay, so this has 3 stop clicks with super senses on them, free heal in 1 click, another free choose an opposing character that damaged friendly character since your last turn, place them such that you can make a close attack targeting the chosen character, then do so, and then Battle Fury exploit weakness on some of the clicks. Improved movement characters and improved targeting hindering. Yeah, I mean, he's fine looking.
He starts Running Shot, Precision Strike, Toughness, Exploit. What is that set?
Yeah, they're not good powers.
Why is that not Hyperspeed? Like, that's supposed to be Hyperspeed, it feels like. He has it later, but not on top.
Yeah, and only 4 range means that's not actually very much range.
Yeah, and if you're not playing Sealed, this figure sucks.
In Sealed, he seems pretty fantastic.
Yeah, he's pretty much winning.
I mean, stop clicks tonight with free heal is always going to be insane in Sealed.
Yeah, Cosmic Energy, yeah. Can't stop clicks with free heal, like, that's going to be...
He's attacking every turn with probably a 4 damage and penetrating Battle Fury, maybe. Precision Strike, just great mobility.
It's unlikely to have high enough numbers to just cleanly KO him, so...
Yeah, this character kind of wins Sealed.
Yeah. But outside of it, agreed, doesn't look that good. Kingpin, opposing characters within 4 squares can't use willpower, is kind of nice. Yep. Other than that, unfortunately, does not seem very good.
No.
Leadership outwit, so good and sealed, but...
Yeah.
They couldn't just give him the first click of his 50-point line with that defense power? Like.
Yeah. Yeah, that does not seem like it would have been too good.
Yeah, no. Not great.
Then we have a Prime Kingpin. Friendly standard characters of 30 points or less can use toughness and modify their attack and damage by +1. Stealth, power action, choose up to 2 friendly standard characters of 30 points or less, move these characters up to 2 squares each, and then they each make an attack. Within 6 squares. I forgot to say that within 6 squares in that power, and that is a very relevant part of that power.
Yes.
A defense power of Mastermind, Toughness, and his other powers have protected Outwit, but not that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And a damage power of Leadership Outwit. Interesting. I think this runs into the problem of just being a worse Dark Phoenix.
The chase?
Yes.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Because
he does make Maggot better.
No, it's standard characters.
Yes.
Damn it.
Yeah, so no, this is only good for like makes Daredevil good.
Yeah, but the problem I guess Dark Phoenix doesn't work with Daredevil, but he has to be within six squares, so I don't know how he would manage that.
Yeah, this is a lot of work for something that just doesn't really seem worth it currently.
Yeah, I'd probably just play Dark Phoenix if I wanted this kind of effect.
Yeah.
And his prime, which is bad for him.
Man, we're almost to the character that I care about.
Almost there. One more. All right. We have She-Hulk. Free action. Remove an action token from her. If you do, this is the Abomaste, which is... Why would you make that a keyword?
Abomaste.
Abomaste. Yes.
Good point. Outwit once per turn. When opposing character within four squares is given a free action, she can roll a d6 on a 3-6. It has no effect. Once per turn. Cool.
She's Phoenix Wright once per turn.
Half of the time, once per turn, she does something. Great.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, Az, tell us about the next figure.
Man, Madison is so great.
First good figure. Let's go.
Yeah, so 20 points for... she has traded shape change. And then once per game, when she would take damage, you can instead place her adjacent to a friendly character with the mystical keyword, which she is mystical keyworded. And if you do, turn her to click 3. If the character that she gets placed next to is Wong, you could turn her to click 1 instead. So she just gets a guaranteed get out of jail free. Just out. Comes with the Underworld team ability, which is relevant to her for her movement power. At the beginning of your turn, roll a d6. One, an opponent places Madison up to one square away from her current square. On every other result, move her up to two squares, which will allow her to carry. Mm-hmm. And then her damage power is Perplex, and then she can use it a second time if she's adjacent to a friendly character with the mystical keyword. She's 20 points.
Yeah, fantastic.
This character's bananas.
Yeah, 20-point double Perplex and okay-ish carry. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and cheap Underworld to copy.
True. Yeah. Can just eat a mastermind for free.
Mystical keyword generally pretty good right now.
Yep.
Although I haven't seen many actual mystical theme teams, but maybe that'll change with this figure. The problem with mystical theme team is that you can't play Carnage Surfer on it.
Yeah.
Accurate. But you can play Kong.
Yes. Yeah. So with Kong and Madison, it would not surprise me if we saw some actual mystical theme teams popping up somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, double perplex is just really good. So
for 20 points on a good keyword.
Uh-huh.
She is unique, so that's something to keep in mind.
Yeah.
Yes, which is probably good. I mean, I don't really think multiples would be broken, but better safe than sorry there, I guess.
Yeah.
Ronin is... no. Meh.
Yep, not very good.
Someone Lucky. Needs to die. Yeah. All right, Lucky.
This is the first part of the combo.
Okay, at the beginning of the game, generate a pizza object. Where is that in here?
It's only there relevant for characters with the pizza.
A character holding this object has three, destroy this object and heal one click. Okay.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Okay. It's in the pizza box.
Yeah. Yes. And it's a standard object, so anybody can pick it up, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Cool. So that's fine. Nice to have. Next, when a friendly character would use the Trick Arrow equipment, before revealing the card, you can roll a d6. Shuffle a friendly used Trick Arrow card into that character's unused Trick Arrow cards and set them face down. Why would you...
I don't know why they chose the wording of shuffle. This isn't a randomized effect. I don't know.
No, I mean, it would be to hide them from your opponent, I guess, in case you weren't using that one that turn. They wouldn't
know but they're it was, still
but they still
down.
Know it's there, so it doesn't really matter. Yeah, I don't know why you would I don't know why shuffling them would be relevant. Every time you use a Trick Arrow, you have a 50% chance of getting a Trick Arrow you've already used back. Seems pretty good. And then you also have opposing characters within four squares can't use shape change, which is good.
Yep.
And enhancement, and that is very good.
And he has himself has super senses mastermind, like
A good 20 points.
I mean, to be honest, if your opponent is targeting down your 25 point support piece, you probably don't want to mastermind to anything else. But
this character is 16 points overcosted for enhancement.
Well, that's what you're masterminding to.
True.
Just mastermind to Scott Crampton, and then you lose by 4 points exactly as.
As I did because
everybody
every
knows,
game in Worlds.
You want to save the dog before you save Scott.
Yes.
Yep, exactly.
This next figure doesn't work. It doesn't. This character is horribly misprinted.
That's good.
Yeah, this is Jack Russell.
Oh, that's right. He doesn't have a stock.
Yeah, so he has traded support perplex. Support is free, but only to choose characters with a monster keyword. And then his dial is perplex, then support, then perplex, then support.
Well,
and
he has both on both.
I don't have as much of a problem with that trade.
And then he has a special defense power that never appears.
That doesn't exist. That's the one I have a problem with.
Huh. It isn't there. Yeah.
that's pretty bad.
I think this dial was like some kind of early draft that never got updated.
Yeah, it looks like it must.
This is kind of messed up.
Like, I'm okay with the trait that support perplex because it just means you have both of those powers at all times.
Yeah, I mean, it makes the ones on dial irrelevant, but that's fine, right. I guess.
Yeah, but this is just one of many misprints in this set.
That's a really bad one. That dial just has no relationship to the powers at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually really like this next figure.
Verusa.
Yeah, this is Verusa. She's 30 points, Assassin Mystical Warrior. She has the target trait, but she has an additional trait. When a friendly character KOs an opposing character with a target token, heal that friendly character 2 clicks, and this game they have Mystics. So that's even if they're not an assassin. So if you're not getting the bonus points, you're still getting that bonus effect. And then if the KO character had the monster keyword, score 15 additional victory points. So it's basically a way for the target token to work for your entire team, regardless of an assassin.
Right. So if an assassin KOs the target that's a monster, you score 40 additional victory points?
Correct.
Yes.
So if she or Scott Porter basically KOs something. And then on top of that, she has a damage power of opposing characters within 3 squares can't use Mastermind, Shape Change, or Stealth.
Yeah, not bad.
Stealth, Precision Strike, Mastermind, or the damage power. 4 clicks, 30 points, Mystics TA. Good keywords, good power set. I think it's just a pretty decent support piece that might see some play.
Yeah, I mean, going to show up on Mystical teams, if anywhere, right?
Yeah, like if we're
not
seeing...
good enough for X-Men teams.
We're already seeing a lot of rollouts being a problem. Mastermind sometimes. Stealth you can get around, but this figure is just very helpful for that package. And just passively giving more points.
What's cool with Kong?
Yeah, just a really solid support piece that I like.
Giving Kong carrier. Mystics seems not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you just carry her so they can't use Shape Train. Well, he's already at the Battle Fury, but...
Now
that's not super useful.
Yeah.
El Aguila.
On the super rares, yeah.
That character isn't good.
No. He can potentially do
for 45 points.
He'd do like a 10 damage blades, but no.
That's fun.
Yeah. Not great.
Man Bull also bad.
Yeah, just
a knocks
back.
Is has some knockback, which is nice. Red with standard Marvel powers that... modify your attack +1.
Yeah. Super Rare Miss Marvel?
The one that nobody could figure out how it actually was supposed to work.
Yeah, has traded impervious and then has traded toughness.
Yeah, you just can't outwit both of her defense powers.
Yeah.
I mean, you can.
You can choose to use toughness over impervious if you want to.
Yeah, if you want to take more damage, you're just like, okay, I'll use toughness instead.
If you have the toughness tarot card flipped up, it's still worse than impervious.
You have to outwit her twice to poison her.
True. That's a good point.
Yeah. She does have a pretty cool power of she may take close terrain or ranged terrain actions as free, but only attack with markers she generated. She has TK her whole dial with super strength and sidestep, so a lot of different ways for her to access the terrain markers.
But the only way she can generate them is to.
Yeah, so basically she uses barrier and then through either TK or sidestep picking it up, makes a free attack.
Cool.
Which she gets try and reach for, she makes close attack. Now, in silver, where you can give her the zero ring.
I was thinking about that, yeah. Mandarin ring's pretty good. I mean, she's still 80 points. So probably
80 points. Play,
but
it's just going to die, yeah.
A fun set of powers, anyway.
Elsa Bloodstone.
Yeah, other characters can't be healed. Do you guys think this character's good?
No.
Yes.
I didn't agree with anybody saying that this character was going to be the next meta shakeup.
I don't think this is the next meta shakeup. I think this character is good and playable, though.
She does have Marksman. So that's yes,
she
cool.
gets Trick Arrow for free. She's although 75 she can't or 40. Use
them very effectively.
No.
Sidestep four range.
Yeah. Sidestep pulse.
Like we've said, range. We've said she's just gonna die about very similar characters.
I mean, there's a stop here at least.
She's 40 points, four clicks, senses 17 with a stop. Yeah, pretty easy to kill. It's if we're in a very specific meta of healing, which we kind of are. I mean, how many people are peeling their Carnage Surfer, Spider-Man, MOE? Like it's constant. If you have her and just keep her in the back and let her be annoying and you've built around her, then she can be pretty effective.
I just feel bad about having a 40-point character on my team that's not doing anything.
It's, depending on the meta, the passive ability just has to be doing enough. And it just has to be when you play her.
Yeah, I mean, if you are facing, you know, double Scott Porter, double Carnage Surfer, then this character is going to be pretty good. And if she doesn't just die.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm on the fence. I don't know whether I think this character is good or not. I think she's probably not going to be quite good enough, but she has a lot going for her.
Yeah. She has a pre-equipment. She's mystical and has a X-Men cheat.
Yep.
I just think she's too many points.
Yeah, don't totally disagree. Interesting.
And we have the Prime Elsa Bloodstone.
The Prime is very good.
I think the Prime is great, yeah. She's 70 or 30 points. You're playing her at 30. Has a trait, charge running shot. That's great. When Elsa Bloodstone hits, after resolution, you may unequip a hit character and equip any equipment unequipped this way to Elsa Bloodstone. Elsa Bloodstone may be equipped with any number of equipment when equipped this way. Free, choose an unequipped equipment equipped to Elsa Bloodstone. An adjacent friendly character may immediately equip that equipment. So, I said the word equip like 18 times there. Basically, whatever she hits, she steals it. And she can at any time just give any equipment she has to friendlies. That's all pretty nice. Pairs well with her attack power, precision strike, and free. Make an attack, but only to target an opposing equipped character. And then a defense power of super senses. Elsa takes a maximum of one damage from equipped characters. Protected outwit.
Yeah, the free attack really ramps that one up.
Yeah, just run across the map, steal Scott Porter's ring.
Yeah, you're still run back, with this,
give probably. It to someone. Yeah. I think in silver, she's fantastic.
Sure.
Just the amount of equipment people are going to go overboard with and just being able to constantly screw
with. Yeah, I mean,
there's
lots of motorcycles and lots of rings floating around, and any of those things are pretty nice to take from your opponent. So,
I mean, lots of gems, a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I like her a lot.
Yeah, I mean, Prime is always going to be a problem, but this is one that at least could be worth that slot.
Yeah. Good keywords. Marksman, martial artist, mystical warrior.
Oh, also a marksman. That's yep. relevant.
So she can start equipped with that. A pretty decent thing you can do as well if you want, like, your Kong to have more reach without playing a black card. You could have her start paying for the motorcycle and then just turn one, give it to Kong.
Interesting.
It's a pretty easy way of giving cool. hypersonic. You can give him hypersonic without needing Blackheart for range.
It yeah, so it sort of fills the Mad Gem niche as well.
She's an offensive Mad Gem that's more niche with how she distributes her equipment.
Yeah, but I didn't think of distributing equipment that you started equipped with. That's really cool.
Yeah, you can just forego the arrows or just have free arrows to give to someone.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, she's a pretty good arrow holder if your opponent actually has equipped characters. But if they don't have useful equipped characters,
the fact that she can just free big arrow.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the fact that she can free Quake to take an equipment. It's unfortunately not all hit characters. It's a hit character. Yep. If it was all, she could trick arrow big to Quake an entire team and take it all at once.
It's all mine.
Yep. But as is, just a free arrow access. Very, very strong.
Okay, yeah. You've sold me on this character. This character's very good.
Yep. She's kind of like in a weird way, a new Pym tank of just come in, free attack, drop, too dangerous.
And another good mystical character.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I believe this character is very good. Probably the best Prime in the set.
So far, that hasn't been a high bar, but
no.
We'll see going forward if there's something else good.
With the next one being what it is. Yeah.
Werewolf by Night is pretty bad.
Graded sealed.
Yeah.
Fun I believe figures. That.
Just sort of a charge figure, heals a bunch, seems good and sealed, bad outside of it.
Stealth charge, doesn't have speed. What is interesting to note is his trait of when he is hit or hits with an attack, gets a rage token, and then he can remove two to make an attack, or on his stop click can remove two to regen his free. What I found in sealed that was really effective is he, you know, removes two, makes an attack, and then gains one during that attack to then just next turn basically be able to attack twice every turn. It's pretty fun little combo.
I mean, so the next one, like, obviously isn't very good in and of itself. No. Layla is an okay support piece, but I can't see ever doing this in Constructed. If you pull both of them in sealed, then you should probably just play this one at 115 anyway.
Yeah. The second click stop click of Invincible Senses is very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's
too bad because the sideline act is cool, but not good.
So this is Abomination. This is the biggest character in the set.
I was saying, one of these in a pre-release. It's a massive.
Really?
It's like almost as tall as my hand. Like it was shoved in that booster in bubble wrap. It was very heavy.
He's like bigger than like the Minotaurs and
by far.
All the Hulks in the set.
Yeah. He has the Abomination Mindfulness trait. He has another trait of traded support. When a friendly character removes an action token from themselves, they modify their attack plus one this turn. That is a good effect. This just isn't a character you can play to use that. Then he has another trait when establishing theme teams. He basically gives a Brute or the Monster keyword character the Abomasnay trait.
Definitely the best Brute and Monster keyword cheater in Modern.
Uh-huh, 100%.
Yep.
Can't think of anything else that trait using that role. Is potentially worth looking at building around.
Maybe.
Just because you can keep your primary attacker untokened forever?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you can already do that with MOE.
For like four more months.
Sure, but I don't think we're reaching for Abomination after that. For 65, he's just a big, he's an 18 invincible giant that can just be outwitted.
Yeah, but he's already done his thing.
Yeah, but you paid 65 points for that thing.
What character do you like desperately want to remove action tokens from?
Carnage Surfer.
Karn Surfer's not that bad at removing action tokens from himself.
He's not, but there are turns where he doesn't.
Yeah, he has willpower and tear and stuff. We're talking a lot about Abomination. He sucks. Wong is pretty good, though.
Yeah, Wong's great.
Yeah. I'll talk about Wong as.
Sure. So I had to fight with people that apparently these quotes weren't from the She-Hulk show. They were wrong. So Wong is 75 points, Avengers, Celebrity, Martial Artist, Mystical. He has Cosmic Energy and Mystics. I require to wear the opponent is his first trait, only trait. If Wong is adjacent to exactly one opposing character, neither is adjacent to any other characters can't be moved or placed adjacent to either of them and can't target either of them. So anybody that remembers Spider-Hammer Eye, this is the Bushido Code of Honor, just on a character that already can't be outwitted, which is great. He will still suffer from the whole construct generating getting around the trait, but he then has a movement power of phase and teleport plasticity, and when he uses phase and teleport after resolution, he can use flurry as free. And his stats are 7, 12, 18, 3 with that movement power and precision strike, impervious, and the damage power. He has a stop click, which has one of my favorite names, which is just I Must Depart.
Yep.
Stop senses toughness, and then when it's first revealed, immediately place him three squares away from his current square.
Yep, just boop him away.
He just bails out. Then he has exploit weakness, probability control, giant reach 2 for the first five clicks of his dial. I think Wong is great.
Super solid personally.
I like that he doesn't have to be adjacent to the character he's attacking because of the giant reach 2 and his damage.
Correct.
Yep.
He can kind of single out somebody and then attack other people.
And he doesn't have to randomly force himself into activating his trait.
Yeah, I think he will get much better after rotation.
Yes.
Because the construct generators all go away.
Oh yeah.
Which means the stop sign goes away.
Yeah.
Because the stop sign kind of messes with his phasing.
Yeah.
Stop sign messes with many things.
Stop sign needs to die.
But I was playing Silver against Emily the other day, and I just killed the rest of her team, and she was playing Ultra Chase Thanos, and I was like, I'm sorry, and just buried her Thanos for the rest of the game. It's like, yeah, well, this is not good gameplay, but it exists for some reason.
They Ultra Chase Thanos, the game should be over in two turns. Either they're dead or you just give up.
Yeah, I was playing Phoenix Sentinel, so I killed all of the support figures on turn one or two, and then barriered in soon after that. It was not a fun game, really. I think he's good. Definitely can see him getting better after rotation, though. Agreed.
Yep. Porcupine.
Yeah, want to continue with that one? I can't get it to load.
Yeah, units is kind of...
Yeah, that's happening for me, too.
Units is kind of exploding.
Maybe the website is down. Backup website.
Probably temporarily down, yeah. But yeah, this is... we're on Porcupine. Just another Abomasnay dude. He's entire dial of plasticity, poison, invincible, and power. He has three traits. The Abomasnay of Mindfulness is one. The other is when Porcupine is given an action token, modifies defense plus one until your next turn. And when he clears action tokens, heal him plus one for each token removed. And then he has Safeguard, Outwit, Opposing Perplex, Opposing Prob. He's just a invincible poison plasticity piece with mystics that stays next to you and is very slow to die.
Yeah, it's like kind of cool, but...
Yeah, not great. Somewhat annoying and sealed if you don't have phasing.
Yeah, I can see that. Tie-up pieces are always pretty good in sealed, actually. I think they're a little underrated in general.
No, this figure is good in sealed.
Pretty cheap. The next one's probably better at that role, though.
Very much so.
So this is 53A Man Thing. Stealth, when he starts the game, generate four plant hindering terrain markers anywhere on the map. This game, those terrain markers have, whenever this marker hinders the line of fire, characters instead modify defense plus two. That is symmetrical, so place them in somewhere where you can use them better than your opponent. And then free, you can place a plant marker within three squares, you place him in a plant marker that's within three squares, which, you know, free movement's always nice. Also, traded charge, invincible steel energy, and an attack power for the whole dial that's poison super strength, 55 points.
And he's a giant.
I think this man thing is actually really... I think he's good, especially because it's a good, decently priced man thing to play with Jennifer Kale.
Yeah,
we got what we needed with Jennifer Kale.
I agree with you. I think this would be unplayable if Jennifer Kale didn't exist. However, Jennifer Kale does exist, so
yeah.
I think this is quite good. And Jennifer Kale works with the when this marker hinders line of fire characters instead modify defense plus two, right? Because she prevents opponents from modifying their stats, not you. So
yep.
That is good. Yeah. This character seems very good. If you're playing him with Jennifer Kale specifically, and that's another two figures to add to your mystical team. So, I do think mystical will absolutely be a thing after this set.
Definitely.
If I remember correctly, this prime is garbage.
Yeah, they messed up this prime, unfortunately. He had very big potential, and they just didn't give his powers the right things. This is the super rare prime man thing, the black and white one from Werewolf by Night. He is 125 or 75. He has animal, monster, mystical with mystics. He has a trait of sidestep turn energy. Speed power, he starts with stealth once per turn when he has a second act, or when the second action token is placed on an opposing character. After resolutions, you may place man thing adjacent to that character. So just anytime there's a second token, just poof from anywhere on the map. It's interesting. Attack power of poison, when man thing uses it, increase the damage dealt to each character by the number of action tokens on that character. Man Thing deals penetrating damage. Potential 3 damage poison would be good. Defense power, toughness, willpower. Man Thing takes a maximum of 1 damage from characters that are a lower point value than him, which is a great defense power. And then you realize it's not protected outwit, and this is 125 points of just dies.
Yeah. Also, no plasticity.
Nope.
Which is not great.
They didn't give him the defense power enough on his dial. He has random regen for some reason, and they didn't give the power protected outwit. I don't know why. This is 125 point prime.
Yeah, why does he have two clicks of regen on click 3 and 4 specifically?
Yeah, that's this is that, I don't understand like, why they just
two clicks at the end of the dial or something seems fine, but
they made this somebody, character unplayable.
Like even if you can't outwit him, if you just hit him twice and then hit him for 4 damage, he basically just dies, which is not what you want for your 125 point characters.
Yeah, if
like you know, chainsaw flurry followed by anybody hitting you and you're dead, yeah. that's not good.
If that was protected outwit and he had it more, we'd be great. 125 points. There's nothing going to be higher than that. He'd be super just consistent, but he's not that, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't like that. Okay, then we have Kate Bishop. She equips an additional, she gets an additional Trick Arrow card, yes. Which is fine. Obviously, like it doesn't let you get extras of the really good ones. So that's not as good, but
yeah, just another fine. Option.
If she hasn't been moved or placed this turn, she has elevated hindering, improved targeting, elevated hindering and characters, and modifies her range by +2, which is 6 to begin with, so 8 range, 2 targets, which is pretty fantastic for the trick to use the trick arrows. And range, have range, make 2 range attacks. And
with precision strike.
Range, flurry, precision strike, range combat expert, so she's a 12 and 4. Incredibly fragile, but very potent offensively.
Activates the trick arrows twice.
Marksman. Trash keywords, unfortunately, other than marksman.
Team players.
I don't know how you could team this.
Thunderbolts.
Thunderbolts.
You could Thunderbolts it.
She is offensively good, but I don't think that the setup is worth it or doable.
Yeah. It's hard because like Hawkeye is still a thing.
But no marks keyword on Hawkeye.
That's true.
No, but you just paid a 10 points for equipment, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean I want to like this character. I think she's very close. If we get things that make her keywords playable, maybe.
A little more defensively would have helped her, but sure. I understand it. It is also just Kate Bishop. What can you really do?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she shouldn't really have too much defensively.
No, I think this is adequate, even though
I mean, could four see range her, like, quite have good. Shape it's... change.
Yeah.
This is another character that suffers from worse than Carnage Surfer syndrome.
Yep.
Yeah, a lot of characters suffer from that.
Yep. Can't where Carnage Surfer, unfortunately, even with Trick Arrows, is still less points, and basically also has range flurry.
Yeah.
So,
Karn
Observer invalidating characters since he was printed.
Yep. Last super.
There's so much text on this.
Yeah, we could just skip this. None of this is good. This is just a lot of text.
Great.
Yeah.
This is bad and has a lot of text. Let's.
Yes.
Now we can go on to the things that are going to be on every team.
Yes.
Yep, the three things.
Okay, so we have three gods.
Well, Ahmet might not be on every team.
Yeah, Ahmet is...
I don't even want to talk about them as their normal dials, honestly.
Yeah, nobody's playing them.
So they have dials, technically. Sealed, you could play them in Sealed. You could play them...
Like, I don't hate them in Sealed, Tower
and
Red.
You have a Herald, where do you... What do you do with them?
You can still
play them. Okay. There's not a lot of...
You can still put them on the...
Yeah, you can play them on the board while paying for their thing. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, the really relevant thing is the avatar of that god trait. We'll start with Ahmet just because she's first. She is not the best of them.
No.
We have Avatar of Ahmet. During first force construction, you may pay 10 points to choose another friendly character to be Ahmet's avatar. If the chosen character has the Herald keyword, play 0 points instead. The character can't be equipped or chosen to be any other character's avatar. This game, Ahmet's avatar can use poison and steal energy and also scores the points paid with this trait when they're KO'd. So, poison and steal energy aren't very good, but other than that... This is extra powers that doesn't count as equipping for all of the various things that we've seen recently that care about equipping.
Yep.
That's good.
I have found exactly one character that I would want this on, and I'd be willing to pay the points. It's Kong.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And it doesn't say standard character, so no. That's fine.
Because he takes advantage of steel energy because you're going to put Kathan on him, and he just deals 10 damage to flyer when he's starting flyers or elevated, so his poison is penetrating as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, not
this
bad.
This is the worst avatar, but it's still definitely not bad at all.
Yeah. It's hard to say no to free things, right, Devin?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, at least it takes a sideline slot.
Yep.
It basically seems like what they've been trying to do recently is give us so many sideline things that
you can't the sideline slots are
effectively a second point cost.
Yeah, a second mini team,
and,
whatever.
And reducing the number of sideline slots really did help. I'm very happy that they did that.
Yes.
9-6 was a huge thing. However, I still wish they would give less free things. It has gotten better in that.
It's shifted from sideline to equipment.
Yeah, it really has. You're right. The free sideline stuff is less egregious seeming, partially because there's so much free equipment. Not that it's not egregious still. Like, obviously, Kathan and Scrappy-Doo and people I still think probably shouldn't exist. But, oh well. Next, we have probably the best of them. This is Khonshu. It's all the same text. It's all the Herald keyword. There's no different keywords in play here. So it's just which powers
Khonshu you want. Gives you stealth and prob.
Our stealth and prob, yeah.
Amazing
can you
powers.
Think of a character who has the Herald keyword and doesn't really want to be equipped because he's a primary attacker and could really use stealth and his own prob? Who could that be? Oh, really, it's Carnage Surfer again.
Yeah, he's better. Woohoo.
You've got to love it when Sats basically only buff the best character in the game.
I feel like this is when Saki got his like fourth stealth buff through like rules changes and new stuff coming out.
Or Thanos with the release of tarot cards.
Yeah.
Like, oh, cool, a new mechanic. It buffs the best thing in the game. Great.
Ooh, it's better.
Yeah. And then we have Towerette, who is support and outwit, which are also pretty good. I mean, all three of these are really good. Prob is probably the best power in the game, so Khonshu is probably going to be the best of them, but they're all very, very strong. And you should play whichever ones you have access to and however many heralds you have.
Okay, so this is my maybe bad opinion. I actually think Towerette is worth potentially playing.
On like force. Main force?
Yes. Specifically because of an interaction with another chase we're going to get to and due to just how they kind of work. And even then, it's not great, but it's
just
still
so many
potential.
Points.
Yeah. But
so
I'll,
is
I'll
it because of
though.
The movement power?
No, it's because of Jack and Elsa, but we'll get to them in a minute.
Okay, well, we'll come back to Towerette when we get there.
Yeah.
This next character is a character you like, right, Jackson?
No, oh, this no. is the coming through the... This is the coming
this is the
through
the TV.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. The duo is later. Okay.
Yes.
All right, this is She-Hulk, which has improved movement, elevated, destroyed blocking characters, a trait called game is this... Super strength probability control. The first time she would be KO'd, she goes back to click 8 and heals a bit. She has charged flurry when she makes a close attack. Walls don't prevent adjacency to her target, and after resolution, destroy any blocking terrain that would otherwise have prevented adjacency. And lawyered outwit, when opposing character within 4 squares in line of fire would use outwit probability control or perplex, roll a d6. She is 8 clicks long. She has invincible. She's a 12-4. Like, this is a totally solid figure.
Yeah.
Probably isn't quite good enough.
If it was like
totally solid
50 or 40 points on lower dial, I'd see it be playable because of the brute keyword.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, brute does help.
Yeah. But I think it's just a little too many points for everything it's trying to do. But really good. It's a really fun figure. This is the She-Hulk at the end of She-Hulk when she's jumping out of Disney Plus. She's like jumping out of the TV
and
into the sculpt.
When she's KO'd, you don't KO her thing also generates a Hulk Pog, which is okay. 18-3 charge, super strength, and impervious.
Triple target,
Yeah, so not bad. Hard to kill attacker. Like, you're not going to embarrass yourself if you play this figure, for sure.
It's fine.
Just not optimal, probably. And she's probably mostly an X-Man.
Yeah, I can't decide if this next character is, like, fringe weirdly okay sometimes or just always bad.
Okay, so we have Dancing Zemo.
Yeah.
This has a trait, come on, dance. At the beginning of each player's turn, that player may move a character friendly to them up to 2 squares. Characters can't make ranged attacks if they haven't moved this turn. That doesn't seem very good.
No.
Baron Zemo does not require opposing characters to break away from him. Cool, a totally negative trait.
Yep.
When Baron Zemo moves, if he ends his movement in the same square he began in, after resolutions, give an action token to each opposing character he moved through on that move. And so you could move up to 2 times a turn and
give so
some action
he tokens. Can potentially infinitely lock down a character by just giving them two tokens a turn. But for how expensive he is and how he just dies to outwit or missing rollouts, I don't think that's worth it. But
and he also can't because his own trait prevents him from doing it because they can move two squares away from him so that he can't get to them, really.
No, I'm but like if you give him like the hell cycle and just have him like power move then sidestep, like it's investing a lot of points. It's not great, but if for some reason you know you're running into something that you can just do this to, he does infinitely lock down a character.
If you had an easy way to give a character immobile, that's the only way that that trait is really relevant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I think there are
just,
ways.
If you could just too. Make Carnage Surfer immobile.
There's something that
I mean, Carnage Surfer also has the problem of having willpower.
Yeah.
No. You make him immobile so that he can't make ranged attacks.
Oh, well, that's true.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I still don't think it's great. Yeah, it's very fringe. But
I mean, the big thing for me is the player, like your opponent, can also move a character at the start of their turn. Yeah, that could just be really bad for you.
This is such a specific play that like you need an amazing reason to do. Other than that, I don't think he's good. But he's very weird and fringe.
Your opponent doesn't get to move a character on your turn.
No, on their turn. But
on their turn. But I don't like any. Yeah. This character has two negative traits. That's not good.
This character's 40 points and is infinitely worse than Steve.
Yep.
Yeah.
All
right. Tell us about Jack and Elsa and how they work with Tauret.
So they have two pretty decent powers. They have Charge Flurry. When they use Flurry, one of the attacks may be a range attack, and then Combat Reflexes senses toughness. But the big thing about them is their trait, which is Jack and Elsa and adjacent friendly characters have, if this character has been damaged this turn, they take a maximum of one damage from attacks. So it's basically just a scenario of you're tanky enough with Tauret to just, you know, get to her stop click and heal while only taking a one through the rest of the turn. It's not great, but it's just the only scenario I would see that being mainboarded other than just being an avatar. But on their own, I think Jack and Elsa are actually just pretty great. They're animal, monster, mystical warrior, so they're on every theme team.
Yeah, those
and
are some good keywords.
This is just a very good effect to give out. Like Carnage Surfer only taking one through the rest of the turn is fantastic. They have just
and
great
also
stats.
Carnage Surfer not being able to double tap things is good.
Yeah, like
something
that
it's pretty good at.
They just bring very good defense and like mediocre offense and support to very good theme teams that keep them alive. I think Jack and Elsa are going to see a pretty good amount of play.
Yeah, not bad.
55 points is a lot though.
No marksman here, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, no. Yeah.
Like the other Elsas. 75 points is a lot.
It is, but I think the trade.
Yeah, no, I can see them seeing play. They're not like I don't think they're the best figure in Modern or anything, but they seem.
They're never getting one shot. Like nothing is ever getting one shot for the most part, unless you know they're dealing seven.
Yeah, I mean that is nice.
We got Steve.
The second best part of the Hawkeye show. I've listened to Rogers the Musical.
That's what you tell us about Steve.
Yeah, so he's 40 points. Only has the celebrity keyword. 6 range, triple target. Avengers Initiative team ability. He has hypersonic speed, in-cap, perplex. And a 4-11-15-0.
What a weird stat line.
Yep.
His first trait is Rogers the Musical. Very important that his real name is unknown. We do not know the actor who is playing Steve Rogers.
Yep.
At the end of your turn, if two or more friendly characters moved and hit this turn, give Steve a choreography token. Steve and friendly characters within range can use the following effects based on the number of his choreography tokens. One token is sidestep. 2 is this character automatically breaks away. 3 is prob. 4 is safeguard, outwit, pulse wave. And then a second trait is I can do this all day. Willpower. The first time Steve would be KO'd, instead turn him to click 5, then roll a d6, and he'll equal to half the result, protect your pulse wave. So he gets the old living legend trait. And then his stop click directly in the middle of his dial is called intermission, which is hilarious.
That's good.
Yep.
Stop click. Steve can't be healed above this click. So Yafit was kind of bananas for how like it could extend turns, right?
Yeah.
This is just kind of Yafit.
This
like not as ridiculous because it's not a bystander, but
well, not like, as ridiculous because you have to do something before it's Yafit.
Right. Yeah. But if you get just one token and your entire team gets the sidestep, like
yeah,
and he's got hypersonic. Granted, it's only a 4 movement, but
it's a powerful effect for sure.
Yeah, and a triple target 6 range in cap. He is an annoyingly stupid piece.
Providing Avengers Initiative to
wild card is quite good.
I think Steve is gonna love him some trick arrows too.
That is also accurate.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, only celebrity as far as keywords go.
Yeah, so you're not getting Scott Porter bonuses.
Could play a celebrity theme team. There are actually quite a few reasons.
Ones. You could play like a Wong, Miss Marvel, Scott Porter team. Yeah. Like,
be fun.
Yeah, it is doable.
Yeah, I think this figure is going to be very good.
Yeah, I think Steve's good.
Seems like a solid support piece.
This next figure is not even close to good. This is Kate and Lucky, and they're 50 points and start with stealth, and that's the most I want to say about them. They suck.
She generates free Lucky.
Eh.
Who gets you more trick arrows?
Eh. You still can't attack.
You're saying you can do that.
They have like fun,
but yeah, not very good.
They have like a shape change special. If an opposing character interacts with the pizza markers, she can free make an attack. But it's still just an 11-3 for 50 points that start with stealth. Yeah, they're not great.
Yeah, if you don't want to get free attacked, you can just not ever interact with the pizza markers, which is, you know, a thing you can choose not to do.
Yeah.
So
for sure.
Hulk and She-Hulk. I think this is one of the best figures in the set. Hear me out. So they are 125 or 100 points. You're not playing them at 175, but they are an 8-12-24, which is pretty cool. Yeah, but for 100 points, they're 8-11-19-3 with a speed power of Charge Flurry, Quake, Invincible, and a damage power of Outwit. And once per turn, when they use it, if the target has been damaged, they can use Outwit again. But their big thing is a trait of traded sidestep, super strength, and then when Hulk and She-Hulk is given a close or range terrain action, choose one to use during that action. Hit characters are either given an action token, or opposing characters adjacent to an original target become targets. So what this means is become targets is not using bolts, so you don't split damage. So let's say with their super strength, you pick up an object and you are now at a 5 damage. You are now targeting an entire team for 5 damage. And that can be bumped up even more with empowers, other effects to where they can pretty easily just deal like 7 or 8 to an entire team at once. Pretty big brutes with the obvious downside, though, of not really being outwit protected. They are also a giant, so equipment's a no-go unless you want to do like Elsa stuff. But they have some pretty good combos. Specifically, they have the brute keyword, which is great with MOE, you know.
Just gives them extra reach, which they sort of desperately need.
Yeah, the sidestep helps too. They do destroy blocking, so barring, you know, stop sign shenanigans, they can get pretty far. They're easier to set up than you think, and they're actually one of the best targets for Khonshu, just paying for it, because the stealth helps immensely with stuff like Carnage Surfer and everything else with them being a single base giant. And then the just prob is always good to have. But yeah, I think they're definitely something to be feared. And with just a little bit of work can be made defensive enough to live.
Yeah, I mean, big problem obviously is that they're 100 points. Which, you know, that's a lot to spend at the moment, but
the main reason I like them so much is they theme with Prime Spider-Man and Super Rare Harley Quinn.
Sure.
So you very easily just have a team of very heavy hitters getting very significant stat bumps. And it gets to a point where the damage becomes incredible. But that's if they can get it off while living. So big risk, but insane reward.
Sure.
I'm looking forward to seeing people try them because
yeah,
seem like they could be good. But
they could be good, either way, yeah. Or they could just be proved to not be enough. I'm hoping they're good enough, but we will see.
Yeah, I'm always a little wary of characters that are relying on your opponent to clump, because if they're a third of your team and are relying on your opponent to clump, they can maybe just not clump.
The main reason we'll see. Right now that's kind of better is just like if your other attackers, like if you're playing them with like a Carnage Surfer or a Spider-Man, sure. And they're equipped, they're incentivized to be like, okay, I'm going to clump up with King Killmonger. But if they do that, then it's like, okay, well, now you've just are in a perfect position to deal 7 to 5 people at once.
Yeah, definitely ways you can encourage your opponent to clump up.
Yeah.
And lots of knockback available to help.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
With Scott Porter pulse waves and stuff.
Yeah, if you play against this figure, you need to deal with it immediately or you are in for a world of pain.
Nice. All right, Az, do you want to talk about Wong and Madison?
Sure. So Wong and Madison is our last chase. 60 points, Magia, celebrity, martial artist, and mystical keyword. I think the Magia keyword is hilarious. First trait is, I don't know, it's blue. At the beginning of your turn, you may choose any two dark or light blue powers. Wong and Madison can use those powers until you choose again. Second trait is, ugh, fine, but no more spoilers. At the beginning of the game, generate a couch-hindering terrain marker within 4 squares of your starting area. Characters occupying the couch marker can use probability control and have safeguard opposing probability control. And then a defense power that they have their whole dial is toughness. And if Wong and Madison occupies the couch marker, they take a maximum of 1 damage from attacks. And the couch marker has indestructible and immobile. This is protected outwit. And their stats are for almost the whole dial, 4, 11, 18, 3 with sidestep TK perplex, 3 range. I don't know how I feel about this character yet. Feels fairly overcosted.
Overcosted, and unfortunately, just any construct maker can just delete the couch marker with a hydrant. So, not fun.
Yeah, and only 3 range means that even if your opponent doesn't deal with the couch marker, it could be pretty tough to do anything from.
And they're only... And if they do that, their only defense is toughness and shape change if they pick it. Well, I guess Mastermind is an option too, but...
Yeah, probably not actually very good, but quite funny.
Yeah, the very funny figure, but yeah, unfortunately not that great. Hilarious references, though.
And then we have an Ultra Chase. Ultra Chase Kevin. This is a 40-point character, 8 range. Improved targeting, elevated hindering, blocking characters. Always good when you give out improved targeting blocking. We love improved targeting blocking. At the beginning of your turn or whenever Kevin is placed on the map from his card, turn his dial to any non-KO click. Kevin considers friendly Marvel characters within range as adjacent to him when using his damage powers. That's pretty good.
Yep.
Okay, there is an unbolded word that was confusing for a second. This trait is called This is the Story Kevin Wants, and reads, once per turn, Kevin may reroll a roll made by a Marvel character. Kevin can't be equipped. And then, but I leave that debate up to the internet, Kevin can't be healed when Kevin would be damaged. Instead, give him an internet argument token and place him on his card. If you do, at the end of your next turn, place Kevin from his card into a square, either in your starting area or adjacent to a friendly character. When Kevin has 3 internet argument tokens, KO and protect pulse wave. So this is a hard to kill, good support character who sees through everything and can reroll any roll made by Marvel characters, which, you know, is most characters that see any play at the moment.
Stats are 3-0, 19-0.
Right. Yes, it is relevant to say that he cannot make attacks, basically.
But if you play Prime Iron Spider,
yeah,
give him Sinister Syndicate, and then you have 3 enhancements.
True.
He's a 12-3 through everything, baby.
With 8 range. Right.
And then you play Mad Jim to give him, like, Pumpkin Bomb so he eases through all of it, too.
You just give him...
No, he can't be equipped.
Yeah.
That you can't get around.
Oh, yeah, it's not a get around because of the getting around. Okay, never mind.
You could assign any of the Herald things to him,
though. That's correct.
You could. You could give him, like,
additional outwit or prob, which is pretty nice.
For 40 points.
To any of those. Like, give him prob and then always be on perplex, outwit, empower, enhancement seems pretty solid.
Yeah.
If you could find a way to give him mind control, then you don't have to rely on the 3 enhancements and just have the 11 attack.
Yeah.
I don't think there's...
think of any way to do that.
I can't either.
There is, but it's like stuff that you can mind control this character and not.
Right.
Enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, if ID cards were legal anywhere, ID inspirations would be good, but
yeah,
they're not.
This character would be great for ID column.
Right? Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Only 40 points. So kind
of. Yeah, 40 points is actually the less good.
Not great keywords. Celebrity robot aren't fantastic, but I could see this character showing up on teams. I mean, it's just like a lot of really good support.
On an unthemed team, this could definitely be pretty good defense. He can like reroll rollouts to like Porter because it just says any roll. So like you could just play him with a something like a Spider-Man to just make sure that senses is always hitting.
Exactly. Yeah, reroll any roll has always been quite good. Getting around to the prop restrictions on what you can reroll is strong.
And then just always having any support power you want is very good. And like you said, he's a great herald, even though it's paid for it, but great use of the powers.
Yeah, interesting. I don't know whether this will see much play. I think the Scott Porters are too strong, basically.
Yeah.
So it's hard to commit to anything that isn't easily themeable, but...
This would have to be, like, a drop-off team who just wants, like, that AoE, like, empower or prob or something.
Yeah, I mean, he's a lot like the starter Uatu.
Yeah.
Thing about that one was that you could put pumpkin bombs and stuff on him, which this one does not have that.
Yeah. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised ever seeing someone play him, but I wouldn't be shocked if I never saw one either.
Printed damage so that he could destroy terrain would be good.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
He cannot.
I wish there was a way to give him like TK or something too.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, giving out Rob or Outwit is good for sure.
There are a lot of LE characters, but only one really matters if you want to just skip them all.
Yeah, I looked through them all and they mostly looked bad. What's the one you think matters?
Kate Bishop. She has 50 points. The non-team-up card, the 203 Kate, has an attack power. Once per turn when Kate Bishop is carried after resolution, she may make a range attack if she occupied any square that character moved through when she was carried. Cool. So...
And she has free... Oh, no, she doesn't have to tell the back half her now.
Yeah, that's later on, so it doesn't really matter. But yeah, she's a 12-3 with group targeting characters. Yeah, marksman. So yeah, just you carry her, you then make a free attack through any square you were carried with a 12-3, seeing through all characters.
And hindering because she has Avengers
Initiative team ability. And then you do trick arrow stuff, so... She's basically like a... Kind of like a non-prime of the Elsa of just... get carried up, make an attack, activate trick arrows.
Yeah, this is definitely a figure that's designed to play with trick arrows.
Yeah, this figure's good. 50 points. Unfortunately, same thing as the other Kate. Terrible keywords. Marksman, Young Avenger, Martial Artist, Spy. But also does have the Avengers Initiative keyword, so also improved targeting hindering is great.
How do you get any of these? Is this a starter of some kind? Or?
This is, I think, just like release day? Or this... No, this is in the KN Lucky pizza box.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is that true of most of the rest of them, or is it...
Hulk and She-Hulk are also a pizza box. Lucky and Kate are one. And then I think Groot and Awua are also, like, release day or something. I'm not sure.
She-Hulk and Yelena might be the release day ones?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I also don't. They're really
there's just
not good.
So many LEs that figuring out how they're distributed.
There are some bystanders that I don't can you even play these? I don't.
I mean, if they have point values, then yes.
Yeah, they have set numbers and point values, but they also have powers that aren't displayed.
Which one are you talking about?
Like the baby Groot, the tracksuit. They have a speed power and a damage power, but they're not anywhere. That's weird.
Well, maybe they are once we actually see them. And
yeah, maybe.
We just haven't. We just don't actually know what they are yet or something.
So yeah, that's pretty much the set.
Yeah, yep. So mostly the chases and things that use trick arrows well.
Yeah.
Seem good.
A few super rares, couple support
Madison
pieces.
And Wong. That's...
I feel like this would be a decent sealed set.
Yeah, it looks like
I've played a few sealed so far. It's been a pretty good set.
So I'll probably be trying to play some BRs and supercharged sealed at Adepticon.
Yep.
So it's good to go through this.
Yeah, for sure. Supercharged sealed is a little bit like you have more figures to choose from, so you do have to think about it a little more than just
yeah.
I've opened two boosters and I'm playing most of the figures in them.
Yeah, you have Disney Plus to choose from too.
Ooh, exciting! It is funny that they're using retired sets in that.
Yeah.
Not a lot of huge takeaways from this set to me, other than trick arrows seem very.
The problem
good.
Is we've known about most of the characters in the set for a while, and it's like. Sure.
Like, arguably the best character in the set, Khonshu, has been spoiled since Worlds. So
yeah, that is interesting, because that is definitely the thing I would be talking about a lot right now.
They actually did just spoil the best character.
Yep.
Yeah. As somebody who's going to Adepticon, I'm very annoyed that the set is not legal for it.
Yeah.
That sucks.
I was incredibly excited to see the builds people were going to have with this set. I'm very disappointed to not be able to see that, even though I can't make it to Adepticon.
It's like it's like less than a week out too, right?
Yeah, it's super close.
And like my biggest like argument for it that I had made was this set is not going to have a modern age tournament that it's legal for before the next set comes out.
Yeah, there's no tournament.
What are you talking about? We have a 3v3 400 point modern and
don't get me started. I'm not thinking about that stuff right now. I'm trying to focus on Adepticon. This set just isn't really going to get its just dues, and it kind of sucks.
Yeah. No, it's definitely disappointing. But yeah, when was the last time I think we got a set on time? So yeah, it's unfortunate. Fair.
Yeah. Yeah, this... The gaps between sets this year have been really weird, where we got Notorious and then Vengeance like back to back, less than a month apart, and then like 5 months until this one. Like, feels like either this one could have been a little earlier or Vengeance could have been a little later and it would have felt less weird, but it felt real weird.
Yeah. I feel like I'm not as excited for this set as I thought I would be after fully seeing everything in it. I still definitely am, but this set kind of feels like She-Hulk and Friends, with just how many characters are just from She-Hulk.
I mean, they sort of, like, the first Disney Plus set was a lot of the stuff that was on that streaming service. So really, they basically had Ms. Marvel, Hawkeye, She-Hulk to work with for this one, which just isn't a lot of characters.
Yeah.
I'm a little sad we didn't get a Daredevil, like a Matt Murdock in this set.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. We could
that
have.
Is unfortunate.
You're going to give him a trait or a movement power called the Walk of Shame.
Yep.
It's cool that they did the Werewolf by Night, also Bloodstone stuff.
Yeah.
Just because that was a little bit less
and then, like,
popular of a show. But
Prime Man Thing, Jack and Elsa, Prime Elsa Bloodstone, all their dials are black and white only. Like, that's awesome.
I would say there's less Moon Knight stuff than I expected, but there just wasn't very many characters in that show, so I guess it makes sense.
That
show was
based
around, like, Moon Knight, Layla, and Hammond. Like,
how did you guys feel about that show?
I really
liked the first, like, three episodes, and then was pretty mad on the rest of it.
Yeah. It was a little slow. But
I'm a big Oscar Isaac fan, though.
Yeah, that's fair. I didn't hate it, but the first three episodes were really good. Like, just the whole blackout and wake up and you've done some incredible violence thing.
I like how
obviously that's how they couldn't do that for an entire show. So tough to follow that up, but that part was very well done.
I wasn't a fan of the ending of like, okay, well, congratulations, you're now confident, so your power is increased times 10. Go do the thing you did 1,000 times that's suddenly going to work now. But just classic Marvel stuff.
Yeah, very classic Marvel stuff. Donnie Blight is also from the Elsa Bloodstone?
No, is from She-Hulk. Yeah, that was the whole episode where he was...
he's the one that tricks Madison.
Oh, right. Yeah. Now I remember.
And then he steals a sling ring and accidentally starts summoning demons.
Yeah. I remember. Absolutely. Yeah, so I think that's the show. Any last minute takeaways or when is Adepticon?
Next week.
Okay.
Next 23rd, Saturday. Next Saturday, the 23rd.
Cool. I will be on a train to Ottawa for my dad's birthday instead. but hope you have fun.
Yeah.
Hope it goes well. Is there reasonable pricing?
Oh, yeah.
So it's the first event that has the new con LUs.
Yeah.
The broadsword, the old King Thor, King Arthur, 3000 AD, and
Iceman. And
you actually get some of those for doing well in the tournament? World?
Yeah, I think it's top 8 gets a set of them. I think entry gets the broadsword.
Yeah, entry gets broadsword, and then top 16 also get Venom Goddess Symbiotes and all the other stuff from Nationals.
And then the Supercharged Seals have I think similar prize structure and then BRs and stuff. So
yeah,
that's good.
We're getting in early Friday, so I'm gonna try to grab as many of those as I can while I'm there.
I hope that represents a change in their prizing policy, because last year the fact that I made that my prizing from the one battle royale I played in was worth basically as much as my prizing from top 16 at Worlds was silly.
Being given cons from 2014 for getting top 32 was so weird.
It's
like, what am I gonna do with the Superman and Wonder Woman?
So I hope that they
getting a Batmite was a slap in the face.
Yeah, right? That's
I gave away a lot of those.
Devin, I just put a picture in our chat if you wanted to see the Abomination.
Oh, that's so big!
It's huge. Massive.
Why is he 12 times the size of anyone?
Yep.
Manbolt's not supposed to be a midget. A small guy, what?
My first two boosters, one of them had Abomination, and at first I was like, oh, I saw Bubble Wrap. I was so excited. This pack was super heavy. And then afterwards, I bought two more boosters, and I got a booster that was super heavy, and I'm like, oh, no, I got another Abomination, didn't I? And I opened it, and it was.
Yeah, it's going to be really easy to tell if there's Abomination.
You can 100% tell when you have a really heavy booster. It's like, oh, there's Abomination in there.
Wow, that is something.
It's so heavy.
So big.
Well, I mean, I guess at least you're not too depressed about it because he's a super rare, but
okay super rare, yeah.
Still, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Wonder why they did that. Just seems off
in scale. Dynamic sculpt.
Half that size still would have been big enough.
He's bigger than Atlas from CAV. Atlas was a big sculpt.
There was
that was supposed to be 40 feet tall.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. I think that'll wrap things up for today. Thanks for being on, Jackson and Az. I want to thank our patrons whose support helps us bring you this without paying out of pocket to do so. Go to patreon.com/jsaclicks and sign up at the lowest $1 tier just to help keep us doing it. We have affiliate links for Podbean. We have a Facebook discussion group if you want to join that. Some good people in there if you need to ask questions and stuff. Want to mention some good people that you can follow: Rain Adams with Happy Little Hero Clicks, Day Station Zebra, the Man, my brain is all over the place today. Check out clicksnexus.com. Check out HC units. Check out Dial H and Dishing Up Clicks. All good people. Thanks so much for listening. We hope you have fun the next time you play HeroClix, whether it's competitive or casual.